Hey friendos, I'm Danny B, and welcome to Retrostalgia, a critical analysis of every book, TV show, movie, and video game that I've always been told that I needed in my life. Today, I'll be taking a look at The Shining. Let's get started. Before we get started, just a quick update on some things. Retrostalgia is now available on Breaker, another listening platform, as well as we have joined the creating collective NextWave. That's NextWave. NextWave is a group dedicated to the next generation of content creators, from podcasting to vlogging and so much more, helping each other to grow and to get better. Which leads me to discuss briefly just how awesome the podcasting community is. Everyone is so supportive and interactive, willing to rate and review your podcast, as well as give you some critiques and advice to make your stuff better or whatever. I'm very thankful for that. As you can tell by my super stellar episodes, I'm a complete newbie to this. I'm so new that I don't even have a dedicated mic. I've been using a shitty pair of Logitech headphones that I bought years ago when I still lived with my mom and owned a Galaxy S4 Zoom. Don't know what that is? Well then, please, please look up a picture of it. It's one of the most ridiculous phones I've ever seen in my entire life, but I was able to get it from my local Best Buy for a dollar, and they also gave me a $100 gift card for Best Buy, which I then used to buy the headset that I've been using. Unfortunately, as of the recording of this episode, my headphones don't seem to be working quite so much. Go figure, right? So today I'm actually recording this episode using the Anchor app on my phone. So if it sounds weird or if it sounds better, that's why. But if it does sound better, let me know, and I guess I can just do this until I can get, like, an actual dedicated mic. Also, if you don't follow this pod on social media, you totally should, because I'm asking nicely for once. And so that you don't miss out on announcements such as the fact that Retrostalgia will be putting out 5 episodes in October. Yep, every Thursday, a new episode. And every week, I go slowly more insane as I try to manage my time well while tackling a different spooky topic. As I'm recording this, it is currently 8:44 p.m., and I have to be at work at 8 a.m. tomorrow. So let's finally talk about today's really fucking exciting topic, the movie The Shining. One more thing before we get started. I just want to give a quick shout out to Colby on Twitter. They host the Colby Told Me podcast and co-host the Minorities Report podcast, as well as they do a ton of other cool shit. Please go follow them at Colby Told Me and at M Report Pod as a thanks to Colby for posting about seeing the remastered 4K version of The Shining in their local theater. I had no damn clue that there was a remastered version of this movie coming out, much less a showing in select theaters. So thank you, Colby, for what I'm sure was a once-in-a-lifetime experience for my girlfriend and me. I owe you one. Seriously, dude. Okay, I can hear the exacerbated sighs and yelling into the void telling me to get on with it, so here goes. The Shining is a mystery-slash-psychological horror movie that premiered in 1980, 14 years before I was born. It is, obviously, based off the 1977 Stephen King novel of the same name. Directed by Stanley Kubrick and starring Jack Nicholson, The Shining has situated itself firmly into pop culture with its very memorable soundtrack, twist ending, and a small cast of characters. Firstly, I want to begin by stating that Jack Nicholson was the perfect actor for the role of Jack Torrance. From the first moment I saw his face, I could not take my eyes off of those evil eyebrows and menacing smile. He gave me the heebie-jeebies right from the very start. He played the part very well, and I genuinely thought he was going crazy over the course of the movie. Well, not really, but isn't that the sort of thing that people say in these sort of, like, review things? But no, really, the character Jack is an emotionally abusive asshole, therefore he already has a ticket to the crazy train. Jack gets offered a job at the Overlook Hotel in Colorado and moves there with his wife and son at the end of hotel season when the hotel shuts down for the winter because the roads become impassable and it's not economically worth staying open, I guess. However, I have to ask, who in the hell okayed the opening credits for this movie? We spend at least a good 3 minutes watching Jack drive up the mountain for his interview and are forced to stare at some horrible Windows Movie Maker looking type with a neon turquoise font that scrolls up the screen. This looks terrible. I'm not sure if this would have even looked good for 1980, but neons were kinda in fashion, weren't they? I don't know. I just couldn't take this seriously, so we're off to a great start. This opening credits, without meaning to, also took me back to like 2007, 2008, middle school, around there, and the cool meme, TM, was to pass around videos of, like, cars driving through the woods, or, like, this maze you had to get through, and you would be so concentrated on what you were looking at that you would get seriously spooked by an image of a screaming, scary-looking Antichrist that would pop up. I never fell for it, but I did watch my share of reaction videos of people tricking their friends, and I gotta say, some of them were really fucking hilarious. The overall story of the movie was very enthralling. I was easily able to find myself lost in the story and wanting to know what's next. A couple things that kept throwing me off track, though, were the soundtrack and the camera work. Don't get me wrong, the soundtrack is great. I loved it, and it created lovely tension and suspense throughout the entire film. The only thing is that it's a bit too loud sometimes, like the music itself is trying to scare you. It also peaks in ways in which you expect a jump scare, but nothing actually happens. I thought this was really cool, because it was like, you know how there's a trope about the unreliable narrator, where, well, here, the music is the unreliable narrator. Whoever controlled the camera for this movie kept cracking up my girlfriend and me. There were at least 2 very fast zoom-ins. I think they were trying to be dramatic, but I just found it very funny. I bet I've probably always found dramatic zoom-ins very funny. And actually, now that I think about it, I probably find it a lot funnier than I should due to the dramatic chipmunk meme. You remember that? I just can't take dramatic zooms seriously anymore. I also couldn't take seriously all the black cards throughout this movie depicting that there had been some sort of passage of time. It starts with a month later card, and then the time jumps get shorter and shorter as the movie goes on. Eventually, there's a card specifically letting you know that it's 8:02 a.m., which is very important for the following scene, I guess. These felt very unnecessary. At the same time, I have forgotten to mention that I haven't actually read the book, The Shining. No surprise there. So I don't know if these jumps in time were in the book and made sense, so they felt that it needed to be included in the movie, or if they just wanted some way of telling time since most of the outside shots of the movie are somewhat dark and snowy. It doesn't really change much, though. It seems to take a while for it to actually start snowing there. Anyways, the setting of the movie takes place mainly in a hotel. It seems very large and trying to be fancy. If I was a kid and had free range of a hotel, I would def ride my tricycle through it too, or like a luggage cart or something, which I don't think I actually saw any in the movie. Room 237, which is like the haunted room of the hotel, has lovely purple furniture. I was very distracted when Jack ends up going to the room because I was so excited about the furniture. I want lovely purple furniture like that. Like, seriously, I want that in my house. But back to the Torrance family. Jack decides to be a complete dick and make the largest room of the hotel into his quote-unquote office. He is an aspiring writer and took the job so that he would have a ton of quiet time to get some writing done. As this is the off-season for the hotel, you can imagine that he has all the time in the world, basically. However, it doesn't seem to be going well, and honestly, I don't think I'd be able to write either in this intense quiet. I would need some music or something. Although Jack was hired on as the groundskeeper, it seems that his wife is the one doing all the work. Wendy is seen throughout the movie taking care of Danny, cooking and checking on the building, taking readings and such. While she's taking care of things, there is also a plethora of product placements. There's everything included in this movie. There's a part of the movie that takes place in the hotel-sized pantry, so there are a ton of opportunities to get that sweet, sweet ad revenue. Speaking of ads, please enjoy this short ad and use this opportunity to get a drink, a snack, or whatever you care to do for the next minute or so. Seriously, like, leave your headphones behind, go get a glass of water, and come back. You get a productive break, and I get like a percentage of a penny, so you're really coming out ahead here. Anyways, let's get to the ad. Welcome back to Retrostalgia. How have you been? Did you get a snack? Have you had any water today? Would you like some Tang or Maxwell House brand coffee? Would you like some Kool-Aid, Oreos, or Nilla wafers? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you're in luck. All of these products and more are found in the pantry of the hotel, as well as the Torrance's home towards the beginning of the movie. There are so many products in the background of this movie. It's a little uncanny for me, all the products sitting on the shelves, as such that the labels are all facing outwards so that you can read them. On the other hand, I greatly enjoyed looking at all of the older labels and seeing how brands have changed their image in the past 40 years. There are also non-edible brands seen throughout the movie, though they're not quite as prevalent, I guess. Danny has a Winnie the Pooh doll, he watches Looney Tunes, he has an Apollo 11 sweater, etc., etc. Speaking of Danny, why does this child walk so weirdly? Is it the button-up shirt and sweater combo that just makes him seem so stiff, I guess? His torso is just like very odd when he's walking. Like, what is he even doing with his arms? I don't know. Danny also has this gift called The Shining, roll credits, which is explored throughout the movie but never really explained or delved into too much. He's like basically psychic, I guess. The main thing is that he can see the ghosts in the hotel, assuming that they're ghosts, and sort of talk to the cook that they meet at the beginning of the movie. Side note, later in the movie, there are two instances of the N-word. It's awkward, and here's your warning. Of course, as time passes, Jack slowly goes more and more insane. It's very creepy and very well acted. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, after all. Jack goes from dreaming about killing his wife and son to getting no sleep and hallucinating a bartender, like you do. He hallucinates a whole party, in fact, and acts like nothing is wrong, going so far as to hallucinate the previous groundskeeper, you know, the one that he was told about from the beginning of the movie who murdered his wife and twin daughters. This is when we are delivered a very interesting line, which changes the story from here on out. Some dots begin to get connected when Jack is told that he is the groundskeeper. He has always been the caretaker. When Jack hears this, you can basically hear the last thread holding his sanity together snap. There's a very real change that occurs in Jack at this point, and the movie goes a lot faster after this moment. There's more that happens, but I really don't want to talk about the naked old lady ghost and the twins and all that junk that doesn't really affect much of what ends up happening in the movie. Of course, Jack tries to kill Wendy, and this bitch actually manages to knock him out with a baseball bat. So, good for her. She drags his ass to the kitchen and locks him in the pantry. So, she must really be fucking strong, and didn't seem too out of breath in this moment for a chain smoker. Wendy realizes just how crazy Jack is now and tries to get Danny and herself out of the hotel, but of course Jack is smart enough to fuck with the things that can help her escape before he tries to kill her, just in case he fails. Wendy grabs a knife from the kitchen before she runs off, and thus begins some of the funniest parts of this movie. I cannot watch Wendy run without laughing. She's just like so dainty and is barely holding on to the knife, just like kind of swinging her arms back and forth. It's almost like an anime character running. She's so terrified that she can't properly defend herself. They eventually go to bed, but Danny decides to be a very creepy kid, TM, and walks around the apartment going, "Radrum, Radrum," over and over again. Somehow, Wendy manages to sleep through this. Danny then grabs her lipstick, which is open for some reason, despite her never wearing lipstick in the whole movie, to the best of my recollection. And he writes "Red Rum" on the door. At this point, my girlfriend actually turned to me and asked, "Is Red Rum like a kid way to say Red Room or something?" Like, she didn't fucking get it. And as soon as she asked me that, Wendy wakes up and hugs Danny and sees the lipstick on the door and sees that it spells murder in the mirror. And my girlfriend was like, "Oh." It was the highlight of my night. Jack somehow gets out of the pantry, and there's some chasing and hiding, blah blah blah. Wendy and Danny hide in the apartment bedroom. Sorry, no. Wendy and Danny hide in the apartment bathroom. Danny is able to escape through the window, but Wendy can't open the window enough for her to get through, so she has to stay and try and defend herself while Danny runs back inside. Jack destroys the bathroom door with an axe, and we get the infamous, "Here's Johnny." And I was today's year old when I learned that Jack is actually a nickname for John/Johnny, etc. Doesn't really make sense to me, but whatever. The cook has been on his way to the hotel this entire time that this is going on, that Jack has been having this mental breakdown. The movie flashes back and forth between him and Jack. The cook eventually makes it to the hotel right as Jack is about to kill Wendy, so Jack leaves to go kill the cook. Of course, the one black guy in the movie is the one that dies. Go figure. There's more hiding and running and chasing and laughter from me while I watch Wendy pathetically run away. Eventually, Danny is able to get Jack to follow him outside into the hedge maze next to the hotel. The roads are covered in 20 feet of snow, but somehow this maze only has enough snow on the ground for Jack to be able to follow Danny's tracks. Danny's shining moment is now. The smartest thing he has ever done in his young life. Once he is far enough ahead of Jack, Danny walks backwards in his own steps so that it looks like his tracks just sort of disappear. Jack gets confused and Danny is able to escape the maze, reunite with his mom, and grow up to relive the horrors of this hotel in a Shining sequel, Dr. Sleep. Did you know about Dr. Sleep? I had no fucking clue about it until I went to see The Shining in theaters and they showed a trailer for Dr. Sleep before the movie. So, spoiler alert for me, Danny lives. Furthermore, what kind of fucking name is Dr. Sleep? I don't know how they came up with that name, but like, the sequel to The Shining is basically all about Danny and the magic, aka The Shining. The sequel should have actually been called The Shining, I think, and the first movie should have been something like, I don't know, The Groundskeeper, The Overlook Hotel, just anything other than The Shining. It doesn't really make sense. Now, the ending of this movie is where you get the Stephen King twist that I mentioned earlier. I'd say spoiler alert, but this movie is 40 years old, so you can suck my dick for all I care. Wendy and Danny get away. Jack freezes to death in the maze, and the look on his face is priceless. And then we get a slow shot through the hotel to a wall of photos, and we zoom in on a photo of a party in 1921, where you can see Jack standing at the front of the crowd, sinister smile, wicked eyebrows, and all. I wish that I knew what this meant for the movie. Unfortunately, I think that I will have to wait for some of my questions to be answered in Dr. Sleep. I just really want to know, like, what was real and what wasn't. Obviously, Danny, Wendy, and the cook are real. Danny grows up to be in the sequel. Wendy drove him down from the hotel in the vehicle that the cook brought up to get them in. There are a ton of theories surrounding this. I assume I haven't heard any of them. I don't really know what I think happened. I kind of think that, like, Wendy's husband, who is not Jack, is possessed by the ghost of the previous groundskeeper, but there are a lot of holes in my theory, so I'm just gonna maybe read the book one day and look up the theories and stuff later. What do you guys think is the truth? Here's my truth. I think that The Shining is a movie that you definitely need to check out. As much as I tend to shit on everything, I actually really enjoyed this movie, and I'm excited to watch it again. I believe it's either out now or will be out soon on Blu-ray, DVD, or whatever with the 4K remastered version. I saw the remastered version in a theater, and it looked excellent on the big screen, so I bet it's going to look just as good on your TV or phone or wherever the fuck you decide to watch it. Either way, I would say that you should definitely go watch it. I don't know how the movie holds up to the book, but from what I've been told, Stephen King is a great author, so I'm sure it's a good read too. But let me know if you think he sucks. I don't really have an opinion about him. So, now that I've finally seen The Shining, it's time for you to go watch a movie that I think you need to see. This week, I want to recommend that y'all watch Saw. I know, it's a cliched movie franchise that has been ripped to shreds because it had way too many movies in the series, but the first movie is actually really good. The first movie is completely unlike any of the others, and trust me, I've seen them all at least once. But the first movie is just so simple. The plot is there, the why is there, and the twist at the end genuinely shocked me the first time I watched the movie. I was not expecting that. It's just a good story that makes for a decent horror movie, and like The Shining, it's one of those movies that will probably be in pop culture for a long time because other movies and TV shows and whatever love to make fun of the Saw franchise. Please, just one Friday night or Tuesday night or whenever that you have absolutely nothing better to do, rent this movie, grab a buddy and some snacks, and enjoy. Tear it apart if you want, but please watch it. And that concludes this week's episode of Retrostalgia. I hope that it was spooky enough for you And I hope that the sound wasn't too bad having to record this on my phone instead of my headphones. Again, if this is somehow better or if it's somehow worse, please let me know so that I can fix this in the future and make your ears a little happier. If you have any other suggestions or recommendations for the show, you can email the pod directly at retrostalgiapod@gmail.com. That's retrostalgiapod@gmail.com, or use the contact form on our website. You can also follow the pod on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at retrostalgiapod. Please let me know what you think of the episode and of the show. I promise to read all of your comments, but you can't make me do anything. Also, please let me know what else you would like to see from the pod. If you like this, cool. Send it to someone who would enjoy it. If you hated this, cool. Send it to someone who will make fun of me with you. Either way, I'll see you again next Thursday for episode 5. Until then, I'm Danny B, reminding you to be kind, please rewind. Bye!